We certainly need to count our blessings. Sometimes we don't take the time to think about how well blessed we are until we lose the things that we have, and then we tend to appreciate them. I'm glad each one of you is here tonight. Helen Birdwell has her son and daughter-in-law and two of their grandchildren, and we're glad they're here. It's good to see Dennis and Molly back in our midst tonight. I understand that Molly's feeling quite a bit better and is able to drive now and making progress, and we're thankful for that. Just glad each one of you is here. We had a good singing this afternoon. As you know, there weren't very many people there. In fact, I think we had about as many from here as anywhere. And there were 8 men who led singing. 3 of them were from here, and 2 of them I took from Henderson. So 5 of the 8 were connected to us. And I appreciate each one of you that went this afternoon. For several weeks on Sunday evenings, I've been emphasizing the word daily. We emphasize that to emphasize regularity. There's a tendency sometimes for us just to get really excited about something and then let things go down into the valley and get excited again, whereas the Bible teaches that the Christian life is one that's sort of on a level road. We have our ups and downs, I know that, but every day is important in the life of a Christian. You know the drug culture that we see happening in our society is something where people want to have that big high. They want to be everything to give them a high, and sometimes people will get addicted to certain drugs and they will steal or almost murder in order to get money to have that big high, and then shortly after that it's gone. Christianity is more of a daily religion. We've studied, I think this is the 8th lesson in this series, and we'll probably have a couple more, in which we're talking about daily living, and tonight we're talking about daily emotions. All of us have emotions. All of us need to learn to control our emotions, and I hope none of us ever gets to the point to where we don't have emotions. We need to learn that we show our emotions in a different way. As far as love is concerned, for example, some people are more outward in their expression of love, whereas others may not be as outward, but we're always doing something to show their love to the recipients and the ones that they really love. But emotions need to be a part of all of us and a part of our lives. In Psalms 13 and verse 2, it talks about having sorrow in the heart daily. And I suppose that there is a type of sorrow in our hearts every day, some days more than others. In 2 Samuel 13:37, in the midst of the problems David was having with his son Absalom, there's the statement that David mourned for his son every day. And in 1 Kings 8 and verse 40, it says that we should have fear in our hearts all the days of our life. Now there are 3 emotions mentioned in those 3 passages. One of them says daily, one of them says every day, one of them says all the days of our life. And so based upon those 3 passages, I think we can emphasize the idea that we need daily emotions. Let me emphasize in the first place that there are some people who are cold, who have few emotions, and seemingly who cannot feel emotions very much. When I read about some of these serial killers that just kill after one after another, I wonder if they have very many emotions at all. When I see a report on television or read in the newspaper about a little child being abused, I wonder if the person who's doing that is capable of really feeling emotions as he should. One of the worst things that can happen is to get to the point that we cannot feel things, and especially feel with other people. and feel the problems that other people are facing. The Bible points out that there would be people like this. Ephesians 3:19 discusses those who are past feeling, who give themselves over to lasciviousness, to work uncleanness with greediness. Now think about that verse for a moment, and I think you would agree that it seems to describe at least, what we see in some people today. They are past feeling, and they are involved in lasciviousness, that's evil expressions and evil things, to where they're involved in it and doing things that are unclean and doing it in a greedy way. They're simply interested in those things that are evil. And it appears that some people like that can go to bed and go to sleep without even thinking about what they've done, or maybe the effect that it's had on other people. Being past feeling. I hope that none of us ever gets to the point that we're past feeling. 1 Timothy 4:1 through 2 talks about people who had their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Some of you may have scars where you have touched yourself with a hot iron, and it literally seared the skin. And that part of the skin, that part of the body, it doesn't have any feeling anymore. And that's the image that's in this passage. He says that there are people who get to the point emotionally, mentally, even spiritually, to where they're just like that part of the body that's been burned with a hot iron. It's been seared to where there's no feeling there. There are times that a person will have a scar on the body and you could stick a straight pin in it and he wouldn't feel a thing. And here he's using that to suggest that people with their emotions can get to where they're like that. In Matthew 13:15, Jesus said, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their heart and be converted, and I should heal them." There are other factors on other occasions, but one factor that is involved with people who cannot be brought to Christ and taught the truth is that their hearts have become hard. He says it's waxed gross. They don't listen. They don't look. They don't hear. They don't see. Therefore, they don't understand. And he said, they won't come to me. He said, if they would open their eyes and their ears and listen and understand in their hearts and be able to feel, have emotions in this understanding, and emotions are as much a part of the heart as the intellect, he said, then they could be healed. But their heart is waxed gross. This morning in our Bible class in the auditorium, we were talking about a passage in Hebrews 6 where it says that a person's heart can become so hardened that he cannot be brought to repentance. Now, some misunderstand that passage and think it says that God cannot forgive certain sins. That's not what it says. Problem's not with God, the problem's with man. But he says that man, especially after he's been a Christian and he goes back into the world and becomes so hardened, that he can become hardened to where the Bible won't touch him. The grace of God that is talked about in the Bible doesn't affect him at all. He's not impressed with what Christ did for us on the cross because his heart has become so hardened that he cannot be brought to repentance. In 1 John 3:17, John describes a person who sees his brother in need, and this is the way he says it, it's a little unusual, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion against him. The word bowels is used in the Bible many times in a figurative sense to describe the spiritual inner man. And so he says he sees somebody in need, but it doesn't really impress him. He just sloughs it off and goes on because he doesn't have that feeling of compassion in the inner man. You know, that can happen to all of us. We cannot take care of every need that exists. And there are times that I'm sure we do not respond to every need that's there. But if you and I get to the point that we can see, for example, a hungry child, and we're not concerned about feeding that child, or we know someone who is hungry and we could take care of it, and we just don't even think about it, or we're not concerned about it. He says in that passage that if one shuts up his bowels of compassion against someone who's in need, that he cannot claim to have the love of Christ dwelling in him. He's cold. He's not touched with the needs of other people. There are two places in the book of Jeremiah, 6:16 and 8:12, that have an unusual statement. It says that these people cannot blush. And what that means is they do not feel ashamed. They do not feel any guilt for wrongs that are done. Don't you think that happens to a lot of people today? When you compare the way people looked at morals, for example, when I was a boy, as to how they do now. There are people who brag about doing things today that my dad and mother wouldn't even talk about. They wouldn't even discuss with me because there was an attitude of being guilty, and there were many things that would cause people to blush. And if someone said a certain thing or gave a certain idea in a conversation, others in the crowd would turn red in the face, and we'd talk about, oh, you're turning red in the face. And maybe that's good, that we still have the ability to turn red in the face and to blush and to be ashamed of some of the things that are said and some of the things that are done. But it is true that any person can come to the point of being cold, hard-hearted, not concerned about his fellow man, not touched with the needs of those around him, and just shuts up himself away from them and can go to bed and go to sleep without even thinking about those needs that exist. Jesus gives us the example of having daily emotions that are good. In Hebrews 4:15, it says that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now think about that for a moment. Jesus can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. If you love someone dearly and that person is hurting, don't you hurt also? Husband and wife, if one of them is very sick and in a lot of pain, the other one suffers in so many ways along with that. And if you are a parent of a child and that child is sick or that child is suffering, don't you hurt also with that person that you love? It has even been suggested that there are times when a wife in the family is expecting a child that the husband will have phantom pains. Now, I don't know how far that can go, and maybe some of it's in the imagination, but I don't think all of it is in the imagination. Because like Jesus, we need to learn to be touched with the feelings of other people when they're hurting. And says he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I went through the Bible this week and looked at the word compassion as it is connected to the life of Jesus. Let me give you about three of those. Matthew 9:36, he looked out at the multitude and had compassion on them. That's in the passage where a little later he says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Send forth therefore laborers into the harvest. In other words, he was concerned that there were people who were not being taught as they should and who were literally going astray, but it says he had compassion on the multitude. In Matthew 20 and verse 34, there were two blind men that he eventually healed. But before the healing, it said he looked on them with compassion. When he saw that they had a need, Jesus had compassion. In Luke 7:13, we have the story of the widow of Nain, whose son was dead. And Jesus met them, and it said that he had compassion on her and eventually raised that son from the dead. The most known and remembered verse in the Bible may very well be Jesus wept in John 11:35. And if you'll study the context of that, this of course is at the death of Lazarus as he was getting ready to raise him from the dead. If you'll study the context, those words are given when it says that Jesus looked at one of the sisters and saw her weeping. When he saw someone that he loved, and Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were evidently some of the closest people in the world to Jesus, when he saw someone that he loved weeping, he wept. Now, he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. I have no doubt of that. But even knowing that, when he saw this sister hurting and weeping, Jesus wept. He showed us the examples. And there's another side of it. Jesus even had the ability to be angry. We sometimes overlook that. You remember, as recorded in Matthew 21, how he became upset and angry at the money changers in the temple and threw them out? It is not wrong to have the emotion of anger. In fact, we sometimes call it righteous indignation, but there is a type of anger that you and I ought to have when we see somebody being abused and mistreated. That's a part of our emotions. Now, we need to be careful about that anger and not let the sun go down on our wrath, as indicated in Ephesians chapter 4. Anger is something that especially has to be controlled and should be short-lived. But even the emotion of anger is an emotion that we need on a daily basis. The same passage in Romans that says, cleave to that which is good, says, abhor that which is evil. And the word abhor means to hate or to be angry at something. Now notice what it is that's the recipient of it. It's evil. We ought to be able to feel anger toward those things that are evil and toward the situations where people are mistreated. That's a part of our emotions, and we need it on a daily basis. Proverbs 15:13 is one of my favorite passages. It says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. I want you to notice there are three emotions in that verse. A merry heart, that suggests the emotion of happiness, being merry. Brings forth a cheerful countenance. That's a cheerful expression that comes because of the emotions that are behind it. So he uses both merry and cheerful. Then he goes to the opposite and says, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Now, one of our verses in our text tonight was that we're to have sorrow in the heart daily. And yet, if sorrow is the only thing that we have, our spirits will be broken. If everything in life is sad, and there's nothing about which we can be happy and cheerful, maybe we'll get to the point that we almost want to give up and not go on. We need a balance of this. We need the merry aspect, the cheerful part, and we need the sorrowful part. Another verse that says this is in the New Testament in Romans 12:15, where it says we are to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. I sometimes think that it is easier for us to weep with those that weep than it is to rejoice with those that rejoice. But we need both of those. If someone we know is having a difficult time, has lost a loved one, is sick, we need to learn to weep with those that weep. But if someone we know has received an honor, graduated from high school or college, as is happening this week with many people, We need to be able to rejoice with those that rejoice. And even if it is an area where we think the award or reward that was given maybe should have really come to us, we need to learn to rejoice. In honor, preferring one another is another statement there in Romans 12. Rejoicing with those that rejoice and weeping with those that weep. And we need these attitudes and these emotions on a daily basis. It boils down to sort of a summary idea that if we have daily emotions, we're going to be concerned about people. And I hope that I never live long enough to where I get to the point that I don't have concern about others. Now, I will admit to you that there's a fine line between worry and concern. My children, and my wife did too, accuse me of worrying too much. I tell them it's just concern. Sometimes I'm not exactly sure where that line is. But I had rather go too far over that line and maybe worry sometimes when I shouldn't than get to the point of not being concerned. If one of my children or grandchildren is facing a problem, I'm concerned. Even if it's something I cannot control, I'm still concerned. If one of you in the family of God is facing a problem, I hope I'll always be concerned. It may be something I can't do anything about, but I can at least be concerned, pray for you and with you, and express my attitude to you and you to me when it's in the other direction, to where we always have concern. There is a rather lengthy discussion given in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians where the church is compared to a body. And one of the ideas in that chapter is that every member of the body is important. He talks about the little members that don't seem to be so important, and the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you, and things like that. But when he gets down toward the end of that chapter, about verses 25 and 26, give or take a few verses there, he says that we ought to care for one another and we ought to share with one another. Now, I use two words there that are extremely important, the word care and the word share. How many times have you heard the statement that people don't care what you know until they know that you care? And that is so true. What we need with daily emotions is to be sure that we live every day, that we live the entirety of our lives, caring about people and ready to share with people. Never being past feeling, but being able to feel, though we may not really understand everything that's involved. And sometimes it is hard to put yourself in another person's shoes and really understand what's going on. But we can care, and we can share, and we can be sure that our feelings are always where they can be touched with the infirmities or with the hurts of other people. Christ showed us how to do it, and we need to do it on a daily basis. Daily emotions, especially the emotion of love, the emotion of caring and sharing with other people. If you're not a Christian and you need to become one tonight, all we have the authority to teach is what the Bible teaches, what God teaches. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for our sins. You must be willing to repent, confess that faith in Christ, be buried in baptism for the remission of sins, that His blood can cleanse you from all past sins. If you are a Christian and you've made mistakes, the blood of Christ can still, in a continuing way, take care of those mistakes. If it's a private mistake between you and God, take care of it between you and God. If it's something that's between you and another person, take care of it with that person and with God. If it's something that's known publicly, Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. If you need in any way to come, come as together we stand and sing.
Tis the grandest thing through the ages, wrong, tis the